Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 23. 2 Chronicles 23. Now in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took captains of hundreds, Azariah, the son of Jehoram, Ishmael, the son of Johanan, Azariah, the son of Obed, Messiah, the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, the son of Zikri, and they entered into a covenant with him. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the heads of the fathers' households of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then, Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and Jehoiada said to them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has spoken concerning the sons of David. This is a thing which you shall do. One-third of you, of the priests and Levites who come in on the Sabbath, shall be gatekeepers. One-third shall be at the king's house, and a third at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let no one enter the house of the Lord except the priests and the ministering Levites. They may enter, for they are holy. And let all the people keep the charge of the Lord. And the Levites will surround the king, each man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever enters the house, let him be killed. Thus be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out." So the Levites in all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath with those who were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest did not dismiss any of the divisions. Then Jehoiada the priest gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and the large and small shields which had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he stationed all the people, each man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house, around the king. Then they brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, "Long live the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came into the house of the Lord to the people. And she looked, and behold, the king was standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the captains and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets, the singers with their musical instruments leading the praise. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Treason, treason!" And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds who were appointed over the army and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her put to death with the sword." For the priest said, "Let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and when she arrived at the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house, they put her to death there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king, and they should be that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the house of Baal and tore it down, and they broke in pieces his altars and his images, killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Moreover, Jehoiada placed the offices of the house of the Lord under the authority of the Levitical priests, whom David had assigned over the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing according to the order of David. And he stationed the gatekeepers of the house of the Lord so that no one should enter who was in any way unclean. And he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord, and came through the upper gate to the king's house. And they placed the king upon the royal throne. So all of the people in the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had put Athaliah to death with the sword. Amen. So if you remember from a few days ago, we talked about what happened, and Athaliah, the mother, remember, killed the whole family, and so this is the only son left, and so the king's daughter took Joash and hid him inside, and it would basically have been some of the apartments near the sanctuary, near the temple, where only the priests had access to. And so they hid him. And so, remember, so he's an infant when he goes into hiding. He's the youngest. And he now waits 7 years. And so if you read the next chapter, we find out that he's actually 7 years old. So we get an idea of the timeline that happens. And it's interesting. Remember, numbers are significant throughout the scriptures. And seven is usually meant wholeness or completeness. So it must have been a cycle of time that took place, a completed amount of time, basically. And then Jehoiada, the priest, it says he strengthens himself. And so he you know, most likely in this whole 7 years, it's not like he's not doing anything. He's talking, he's bringing people together, he's figuring out the right time, and now he basically has critical mass. There's enough people that are pretty unhappy with the rule of Athaliah, and it maybe have taken 7 years for people to actually see that, oh yeah, this is not good. There's evil, there's wickedness going on, and thus you could tell by the worship of Baal and even the priests. And so in verse 17, and when it says, the house of Baal tore down, and the images and killed Matan the priest before the altars, and then, moreover, placed the offices of the house of the Lord under the authority of the Levitical priests, now you have an idea that she actually tore down the whole idea of Jewish worship, which was the Levites anointed, appointed by God to lead people to offer sacrifices before the Lord. And so 7 years of this, people are fed up. Next thing you know, we come to this place. And so he's got these group of men, and they come together and they make a covenant with each other. And they say that this is not the way that the people of God should be ruled. And then plus, this is just not right, because she is not the rightful leader of this group. It's actually this young boy, Joash. And so he gathers the people together. He particularly gathers the clergy together during this time. And oh, sorry, guys. And they come into this place, and he just kind of like a military leader. Even though there's priests, he divides them in three groups, and he sets them at key strategic locations throughout the city, and then he puts it into order. He has he basically has the support of the people, and so they surround the king. And trumpets, I mean, it's just like a feast is happening, and it ends at verse 11. They say to them, long live the king. Long live the king. So Athaliah hears the trumpet, hears the commotion. So she comes out, and she goes into the house of the Lord, because that's where all the commotion is taking place. And she sees, you know, this little son, and most likely, because she had killed all the rest of the royal family, I think she felt pretty secure. So she kind of walks in. I mean, if she didn't have such confidence, she would have not done that, basically. But she was so haughty, so full of this confidence, this pride, that she walks in, and, you know, next thing you know, they take her. She calls out treason, which actually it's not. Because he's the rightful king. She's the one who committed treason because she had killed the royal family and taken a hold of this leadership. And then the priest brings out the people. They kill her, kill all the followers that followed. And then the beautiful thing that happens afterwards is reforms are now starting to be carried out. They go into the house of Baal, like I said. They get rid of Matan, the high priest there. They get rid of Baal worship, and now go back. And if you, as you read, particularly this chapter, it's always this nod of going back to David, going back to what David had instituted, even the worship and the singing and the praise according to David. According to the order of David, then they'll go back to putting the Levitical priests in order according to the law of Moses. And so it's a revival that's taking place. It's a going back. And whenever you hear the word revival or something like that, it always means the same thing. It's always going back to original purpose. It's always going back to the original intent. That's what a revival is. I know a lot of people talk about, oh, revival is when people get saved. Not necessarily. You know, that's actually called an awakening. That's a totally different thing. Because a revival, in other words, you know, if you just simply take the word, it's revived, means brought back to life. And you can only bring back to life something that was once alive. Or else it's just not a revival, it's a vival. But obviously, there's no such word. And so it's an awakening that takes place during that time. And so these guys, what they do is they carry out these reforms to bring them back to original purpose. And you'll see that prophets, when they speak of this, that's exactly what they mean. Bringing people back to God. You'll see that all the time. All through John the Baptist's ministry was to bring people back to God. We see throughout the New Testament, it's always about bringing people back to God. And it was what God intended, what God had planned, and it's bringing people back to that original purpose. And so Revelation, the letters to the churches, they say, go back where? To your first love. It's always about bringing us back to that purpose and that intention. And then that's really the heart of revival, and there's a heart of these reforms that are carried out, is to bring people back into this place in their relationship with God. I mean, in many ways, that's kind of what church leadership is structured for, is to help people in their, obviously in their relationship with God, but a lot of them is bring them back into sound relationship with the Father. And so it's kind of a nice story that lays out. But, you know, one thing I just want to touch on real quickly, real briefly, is just the honor. You know, David lived such an incredible life that no matter if his sons mess up or anything like that, that because God made a promise to David, he always brings the people back. I mean, this whole story is a story of redemption. He's the great redeemer, and he's because of the name of David, because of David's life, because of promise that he made to David, he honors that. It doesn't matter if you have evil sons in your line, God will always honor that. You know, and that should kind of speak to us, particularly when we think about promises that God has made to his people. Maybe promises that God has made to you personally. In the same way of David, even evil sons will not get away from the promises of God. You know, the way that we can think about that now is even your sinfulness will not take you away from the promises of God. You know, Paul writes to his spiritual son Timothy, and it says, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And in other words, even when we mess up, God will always remain faithful, because that's who he is. He can't be anything but faithful. That's just not in his ability to do that. And so, you know, it's kind of a great way of thinking about this, and especially for many of us here that are parents. You know, what an incredible way to live our life. You know, can you imagine? You live your life on this earth in the time that you have with such faithfulness, with such favor from God, that it passes on to your children, and then your children's children, and so on and so forth. And a legacy, you know, is really built by that. And I think that's pretty amazing how that works. You know, even as we're sitting in this room, and you know, Pastor Selamat and Mimi are here. I've been really blessed over the years. I mean, not only just to get to know them, but their whole family. You know, and then, you know, you kids should be very, very aware, right, of the blessing and favor that you have, you know, because of the faithfulness of your parents. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what the Bible calls heritage, that God gives. And what an incredible blessing, you know, to have parents that follow the Lord, you know, that allows you, and I'm not just talking about your education and type of things, even though that's a very clear sign of God's blessing, but that's what I hope for my kids, and you know, to build a lasting legacy that continues on, and what a blessing, you know, the things that you do today. I know this is from a movie. If you guys ever watched Gladiator, right? You know, what you do today will echo for eternity, and I think it's true. You know, Maximus, he was right. You know, what we do today echoes for eternity. How we live our lives today particularly as parents or you that are coming to that station in life soon, it really has an effect, and we can see how blessed David and his descendants are because of his faithfulness and his relationship with God. And David wasn't perfect by any means. And we can draw great comfort in that as well. Amen? So let's close our eyes. You know, God sets about to bring revival to his people, to bring them back. What is something that you need to be brought back to today? Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe before you had such a passion to be holy, and it's kind of waned. Maybe before you had a passion for the word, and you just got too busy. What does God need you to bring you back to? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Whatever the Lord is convicting us of this morning to go back to, let's go back to the Lord. Let's go back to our first love. Whatever it is God's convicting you of, let's return to the Lord. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our community, especially as they battle cancer, go through the therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. I don't know if you noticed, but we haven't been praying for jobs because everyone that we prayed for got jobs, right? So I think it's nice to take a pause and thank the Lord for that. Really praise God. Yeah, nobody. Amen. Let's go to the next one. All right, let's pray for our mission focus, and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, her ministry, her continued language learning and mastery. Pray the Lord would really continue to have our hands on her, especially if we look towards a possible 2020 plan in Tokyo. Let's also pray for Cambodia. Pray for grace, and our business is opened up. Pray for God's favor and blessing and wisdom. Pray for Oasis House, as Pastor Jenny Oh and their healing ministry. Let's pray for God's hand to be with her and their team, and that would really provide a lot of training and healing for people there in Phnom Penh. So let's lift up these two countries. Let's ask for God's favor. Let's cover our missions council, and let's ask for God's hand to be with our leaders. Pray for Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in deciding who, what, how much, you know, all those details. We just need a tremendous amount of wisdom. Let's cover. Pray for our local outreach, our Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Migrant Workers Outreach, and Bridge and Recreation. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide and just empower our leaders, our volunteers, and that every person they come in contact with would see Jesus. Let's pray for our SP Fam ministry. Let's lift up Cadence. We have a new baby coming this week, the Gates. Pray for just God's hand, and pray that more families would sign up, and that the Holy Spirit would just really move upon us in this way, that we would care for the least and the most marginalized in our society, which are these babies. Let's pray for our gatherings this Friday. IP, SPU, SP Youth, and EG. Actually, EG's the retreat is this weekend. And so we'll be going to Mawon tonight and then come back on Sunday. And so we could pray. Just pray for just a wonderful time of people really experiencing God. If you could also pray for me too. I'm still not fully recovered. And so I'll pray that I wouldn't get other people sick while we're out there. Let's lift up. Pray for house churches tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead our house church leaders, our hosts. People would come, they would come on time, and they would come ready to engage the Lord and one another. And lastly, let's pray for the Metro Manila team that's out there right now. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Pray for strength, anointing. They started their sidewalk ministries with the kids and praying for the leaders. And let's pray for strength. Let's pray for a tremendous amount of anointing over them. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for just the encouragement and the reminder, God, of just coming back to you, Lord. God, as reforms were instituted back in Judah, but I pray, God, that we would also return to you in whatever areas, God, that we may have drifted in, that we may have lost our focus in, God. Lord, we want to return to the Lord. And so help us, God. We also thank you for the encouragement of David, God. Lord, all throughout the text, Lord, it was because of the word of David, because of David. Lord, help us to live such faithful lives here on earth, God, that it affects the generations that come after us, Lord. And we thank you, God. We love you. Watch over us. Watch over our church. All the different activities that are happening all throughout this weekend, God. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. We thank you. We love you so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you throughout this weekend.